enjoy and be thankful. But just as our brother has said, our first right it is that the Lord opens his heart to us. And it is remarkable. We can sing songs, not just singing them through, and well, then quickly the next song. The whole meeting, from the first second until the last second, the meeting is so precious. And yesterday, I don't know if you've realized that, in the song 374, the verse 3, it is, we cannot comprehend what we have. In the third verse, visible, the mystery became, it's written in German, the angels, they were not allowed to see, but today his promise, his intention is visible. We can partake at his heart's purpose, his heart's wish. Christ alone, and the church. This is such a right. Just Christ and the church. And the verses that we read, in him we have redemption. That is Ephesians 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. And what I found also good in Ephesians, the epistle of Ephesians, the first three chapters, it is a basic foundation that we know. There are things we need to know. Today it is about redemption, which we need to know that. But it's not about knowledge in the mind, but it is about a deep understanding in our heart. And why does the Lord let us know his heart's intention? So that his heart's intentions becomes our heart's intentions. So, you know, I don't like the word topic. This is not a topic we talk about today. We exchange opinions. What do you think? What do I think? It is not a topic. We have fellowship with the living God and with each other, and he wants to write on our hearts. In our hearts. Yesterday we had this other verse in Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. Now the question is, how do we do that? Do you believe that we are capable to keep our heart? What activities do we need to do? What practices should we keep so that we keep our hearts until the last day? Well, a few chapters later in Proverbs 23, verse 26, chapter 23, verse 26, easy to remember, that is the key. My son, give me your heart. My son, give me your heart. And I have the impression today morning the Lord is saying to us, give me your heart so that I can write in it, that he can work himself, that he can imprint himself in our hearts. In this wonderful Ephesians 1, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I think this revelation of knowledge, it goes so deeper than just knowing. the revelation and the knowledge of Him, this is deep. So today we read the first verses in chapter 2 in Ephesians, gets personal. The first two words are, and you, every single one of us, every single one of us, you and me, brother and sister, students or retired, every single person is this address to, and you. Let us read the verses all together. Ephesians 2, from verse 1 until verse 6. And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And you.
Die Verse zeugen von unserer ganz persönlichen.
These verses, they tell about our own personal redemption.
Mit jedem einzelnen von uns.
What the Lord has done with every single one of us. That is His work. And important is, this morning, this is about our own personal story. But as we heard yesterday already, the Lord, He does everything with a goal and with His intention. And this is a lie of this ages today, that the redemption is enough and the salvation is enough. That it for everyone for whom the Lord has spilled His blood. Praise the Lord for every brother. It is such a victory that the Lord made. But our redemption is with a goal. Why are we saved? Why? It is important that we are aware. The fallen man searches, he needs questions, he needs answers for very central questions in this life. Every man, every person is searching, wants to be filled, cannot deal with this emptiness. But remarkable,
vor vielen Jahren gestellt hat, die bewegt uns bis heute immer noch.
One question that already Pontius Pilatus has asked, what is truth?
Auf so eine Frage, der Mensch braucht darauf eine Antwort.
So zentral, a person needs an answer to these questions. And it is very, very important that the answer to this question is rooted in our hearts. In John 17, verse 17, the Lord says, your word is truth. This is already such a verse that we can praise the Lord, that today in His house we can enjoy His word, His scripture, that He speaks to us, that He is not ceasing to speak to us until this day. This is not a small thing. It is healthy how we to have in front of our eyes. In Ephesians, it also says that Christ should be to the praise of His glory. It is good to praise the Lord and to thank Him. Thank you that you speak today. So the church is the pillar and foundation of truth. And today we are in His house. So wonderful. And in Romans 1, beginning from verse 18, it is described that there are people, let's just read the verse, verse 18, Romans chapter 1, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. That is the expression of this time, that the truth is held back in unrighteousness. And this is also visible in all religion. Well, the church is not a very special topic. It is something different. It is the heart's desire of our Lord. And well, this is a lie that I've followed for a long time. Well, there is your salvation. Well, that was my life conduct. I am saved. Wow, wonderful. But this is a lie. And this is not only in the world, it's also in religion. And that is why it is so important. Christ alone and His church. It is more than we don't need more. It is more than enough, because the Lord opens our eyes that we can see the ears of our heart, and He enlightens the eyes of our heart. That is what we need, and that what we need to live. And, well, I read a few verses from Romans 1, which show the nature of the old man. You can say, wow, they're really harsh, they're dramatic, but still, it is the truth. How our Lord sees a man without God, how a man is without God. Romans 1, verse 29 until verse 32, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality. Well, this is not just a small mistake. Well, in the end, actually, we are quite good. This is also a lie of this time age. Actually, we're all quite good if there would be the small mistake, the sin. But here it says, being filled with all unrighteousness. Okay, well, this is past tense. You were. For us, it is past. But before we were born again, how it doesn't matter here the Lord says, a man without God is filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, even though they know the Lord's judgment. This is remarkable. People wouldn't admit that. but they have a kind of sense that is actually it is not okay, it's not right. But it is, again, remarkable how it continues in these verses. In verse 32, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. This very, very dramatic words, but I can say, praise the Lord. The Lord saved us from this. He saved us out of this. You know what that means? Sometimes we cannot find the words. What great gift the Lord has given us. And again in Romans 3, from verse 10, I won't read all verses. It says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. That is the view the Lord has upon the fallen man. These verses are really dramatic, and they show how much the fallen man needs our Lord. A verse that in the past days was in front of my eyes newly, or the meaning, what is written in these verses, is a bit later in Ephesians, in chapter 2, verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, and now having no hope and without God in the world. It is very important that we not only know these verses. Well, I know that it's written there. I've read this verse many times, but you know, if we understand or if we have a relation of this, it goes deeper. And this hopelessness. I am telling you about a young man. He was, I worked with him until last September. He enjoyed his life. He lived quickly. He tried out everything and he joined everything. Isn't that what makes this time age, this current time age, so good to live in? But the story of this young man, it took a very dramatic turn, just as it says in Ephesians.
Da gibt es ein Herrscher der Gewalt der Luft.
There is a prince of the air, the prince of the powers of the air. So sometimes we are not aware that this man is living in the under the rule of this prince of the power of the air in captivity. Well, sometimes this gets out of our sight, but never forget what good works the Lord has done. Never forget what the Lord, did for you, even though it is in the past, is behind. This young man, well, in these verses, it's also described about the lusts of our flesh. And this young man, he went a step too far. Well, he entered the part of drugs. Well, it was fun to sit together in the evening with his friends and to try this, try that. But for him, the lust, it became an addiction. So on the one side, he lived according to this time age. He celebrated, he partook in everything. But though he was empty, hopelessness, without God, well, now, since a month, this man is dead, and I had the opportunity before to speak with him a few times about the Lord. I wish, I don't know if I that this time age, it has no hope. You can fill with many things. It is like a fast roller coaster. But what remains in the end? It is life in captivity, hopeless, without God in the world. Well, this week I met the parents of the young man, and the same hopelessness is in them. This really tragedy, and these verses that we are reading, there are life stories behind. There's your personal life story in these verses. Also, we were dead in sins and trespasses. That was our part, that was our area. We were entangled, but praise the Lord, we were made free. And we need to be aware this part of the world on the one side destroys the people, even though the people in the world, they wouldn't recognize that. But you realize it destroys the people. And the other part, Romans 8, verse 7 and 8, it says, the carnal mind, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. So they are filled. What is the flesh in purity? Well, the carnal mind is enmity against God. That is Romans 8, verse 7 and verse 8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So, it is good if we write this verse deep in our hearts. So, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And this is not only applicable or relate to our time before our salvation. This is until this day today. The ones who are in the flesh, if I am today in the flesh, the Lord cannot be pleased about me. This is very serious and very, very central. And you know, our Father, He has made us free. Let us read together verses 4 and 5 in chapter 2, Ephesians, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Amen. By grace you have been saved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. By grace you have been saved. You know, I estimate at these verses, it starts with God has. We should not boast. We must not boast. This work only the Lord has done in unity with His Son. But made us alive. Even though He knew us, even though He knew, like, this part of the flesh was also our part. Wonderful, because He is rich of grace. For His great love, with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive. He saved us through His Son. He redeemed us. His Son gave Himself as the price. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 7, it says, you were purchased by a high price. A high price. What was this price? What? Well, that our Father, this word our, again, it is not a small thing that we can say today, our Father, it is not only God made us, but God, are many people talking today, well, there is this God, there is that God, and God has done this. This God is our Father, my Father. And if I say my, hopefully you can join in this my. He is our Father, and He has loved the world so much that He gave His most precious thing for us, for me, for you. We need to be aware. For me, Christ went or took this path, and we know for our Lord, it cost everything so that we can sit here today and can say, our Father, just four small words. But for our Lord and our Father, it cost everything. He paid with His blood for my sin, for my trespasses, for my old fallen nature. And the Lord purchased us. Verses in Titus 1, verse 4 to 6. That was Titus 3, verse 4 until 6. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Thank you, Lord. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Praise the Lord for such a great salvation, that our Lord was ready to walk this path, that there is a way for us out of captivity. And I said before, this is also our testimony that the Lord purchased us, that He saved us. But actually, this is only the half truth. Please understand me correctly. I just want to add, such as the Lord has saved us, we praise the Lord for that. He saved us, He redeemed us, He made us alive. He purchased us for the church. That is the full truth. Saved, purchased for His house, for the construction, the edification of His church. Therefore, He gave His Son, not only for that we can step out of the part of the world, not only that we can live a higher standard because we are safe from sin, but with this work, the Lord gave us the foundation stone of the church, and every single one of us, of young one or older ones, everyone was born again, has been called to this edification, this work of edification, to build together, to also give yourself. But still, until this day, for many this is hidden, and I hope that the Lord can use this time now that to write this more on our hearts, so that after the conference we can go home and have a new topic in the meetings. Let us read Timothy. Let us read something here. It's also interesting. That is not why the Lord writes. I am persuaded that everything the Lord is, everything that the Lord does, His rich providence has been abound. Our Lord is not a very, he spends richly and according to the goal, focused on the goal, His church, that He can prepare us for the work of service, that we are something from the hope of His and praise of glory, that we can be, that we can testify, that we will also hear in the next meeting His work. We are remarkable, but also mysterious. And the wonderful thing is, with Christ, we were made alive. That is also the headline today, from death to life. Today, the life is our share, our partake, not the life that I've told about the young man. Today morning we sang, "We are dead, but still we are made alive." That is also written in Colossians 2, verse 13 and 14. And you enjoy this. And you, amen, He has made, enjoy that, He has made me, and you, being dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive. Also very important in this verse. Having wiped all trespasses, all sins, it is important. The sin has been, it was necessary to make the way free of sin. That is why He has spilled His blood and He made the path free. He has wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, that is verse 14, which was contrary to us. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So if we are talking about life today, we also talk about death. It is not something contrary, that if we talk about life, we also talk about that we were crucified with Him, that we were buried with Him, we are finished or ended with Him. Also, this verse, it is only through His grace. The only thing we did is that on a certain day we told the Lord, Lord, I need You. So there probably might be 300, 400 stories, every single one of us, how we accepted the Lord, who were saved. It is such a first right. But I also want to talk this freedom that we gained. Today we are in an area of freedom. We were made alive. We were saved out of all captivity. That is why the provision's headline is Alive in Freedom in Ephesians. But still, sometimes we are restricted. I like that book very much with the headline, Christ is different. Well, our Lord is different. He's different than myself. It's also the sister gave testimony. Sometimes we expect, but in the end, the Lord works in a different way. So he works for our salvation, for the edification of His church. How I would work, well, that is not important. Our Lord is different. And Galatians, the Epistle of Galatians, well, these verses in Ephesians, they show the part, the area which we were saved out of this all fleshly things, envy, disobedience. We were made free of them. We were saved and made alive. Amen. Made us alive together. But then, brother, he talks about a church. Well, and they began in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. But on this part, I want to explain to you in the church in Göppingen. In Acts 19, there was a verse we talked about. Verse 2, this is in this, Paul, he goes to Ephesus, and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So, what now? Well, this is actually... It should be a part of our gospel that the Lord has saved us and that automatically we receive the Holy Spirit. Well, yes, of course. That is, so it is. But in this verse, it continues. So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And you know, what was interesting for us on the one side, and on the other side it was again very dramatic. All saints out of who walked many years there, then those ones said the first time where it is spoken about the Spirit and the working of the Spirit, the unity of the Spirit and the Spirit who makes alive. And when the first time it was mentioned this way, do you know when this was? It was in the church. So for many saints for 20 or 30 years, this question was not answered. And now the question is, how does a Christian walk then? What options does a Christian have to walk then? Now we read Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And also this liberty has experienced every one of us. The Lord has purchased us, he has redeemed us with his blood, he has made us free. But still, again, remarkable. Paul, he speaks to a church. There is not what does the church, what does the world have for an alternative then to walk in the flesh? The world is the flesh. It is pierced by the nature of the enemy. And here it says in Galatians 5, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. For the liberty the Lord has made us free, exactly for that the Lord has made us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. You may say, well, this is not possible. How is it possible? And also in Galatians 5, verse 13, you were called to liberty, verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. And only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. But these verses show it is possible that the Lord has a strong beginning with us, and probably also listened. The brother has reported that it is tragic to see how over years someone standing for the church and burning, but then there is a fight. How is it possible? And also, I, as a young brother, I spent time with this question. How is it possible to continue the walk without going in the wrong direction, wrong turn? But in the Word and in all, in nearly all epistles, there's this look back, look where you came from, and look who was it that saved you out, and that it was not, wasn't you, it wasn't your own ability, not someone, not anything, but only the grace of God, because he loved us. And you know, our walk continues in the same way.
durch Gnade gerettet.
We were saved by grace.
Aber Paulus sagt an einer Stelle auch,
but Paul, he says,
that
the different context, but the words are precious. Through the grace of God, I am what I am. Is this our testimony? Do you think you are capable to walk, to run the race until the end? Do you think that you're capable to remain and keep the precious good? Are you capable to keep your hearts? Well, you know, our victory is that we know the one who is capable. And this verse is in my head since the summer conference, 2 Timothy 2, 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, I think. Keep an example of good works. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Amen. This is our only security, that we know the one who is able to keep until that day. And even though it is a fight, we talked about that yesterday, fight, this precious thing is fighted about. We are talking about the treasure in the hearts of the heart of God, this most precious thing in this universe. There are many interesting things, but only one thing is so precious. It is Christ and his church, and is fighted for. And this fight continues to our own hearts in our daily life. And I said that before, our life is in Christ. We live, but are dead. Though, and I'm persuaded you know this verse, and at baptism we sing a song about this, that is the solution for this fight, that we must fight, the fight between flesh and spirit. I am crucified with Christ. That is our victory. We are crucified with Christ. And the song continues, no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. And in this last provision, I was thinking about the headline, how is it living in Christ, through Christ, with Christ, is he living in us? How is it? Oh, forget that. As long as we have this testimony in us, today I live through Christ. It is no longer me. In the church, it is not about us. Why are we here? Because the Lord has revealed something to us about his heart's desire to seize that more, that He gives us the spirit of revelation to understand entirely, to see entirely. That is why we also give the time. Maybe it is a strenuous time, lots of driving, but don't let yourself be distracted by all those things. Look upon the Lord. Look away from yourself. We are crucified with Christ. It is our victory. That is the victory the Lord conquered for us. And if Paul says the word of the cross is for us, it is our victory. For us, it is the we can be sure. What are we doing in prayer than searching for our God? Not longer I need you. I need you in this situation, in this situation in family. I am not capable, and I won't be capable. That is one thing. After 30, 40 years walking with the Lord, the flesh is not getting more useful. The only thing useful in us is Christ in us. This is such a first right. And the last provision, and we can see that standing that we were put in, it is such a, and we can see the first right that the Lord has put us in, and praise the Lord for this time today. It is not a small thing. I say again, please never estimate that small, that we can come together and praise the Lord and can speak to us. Amen.